The following is an oral history interview with Alan R. Staley. The interview is being conducted at the Portland Building at 1120 Southwest 5th in Portland. The date is March 26, 1984. The interviewer is Linda Dodds for the Pittock Mansion. Now, Mr. Staley, I want to talk to you about, or ask you about, the restoration of the Pittock Mansion. I guess my first question is, when did you first become involved with the Pittock Mansion in one way or another?
The Bureau of Parks worked with several citizens' committees and city council before the property became city property. It was owned by the Pittock Estate, I believe, or the Gantenbines. I was active with several other people from the Park Bureau in conducting tours and involving the public in looking at the building and evaluating the building. I think it was in the winter of 63 or the winter of 64, whenever it was, just prior to the time the building was purchased. At that time, there were windows out, and rain and wind were coming into the building. And I remember giving tours and keeping fires lit in the fireplace for a little bit of warmth in the building on a number of different weekends. And that subsequently led to public subscription, government money in purchasing the property. Shortly after that, we began restoration on the building. The grounds, the building had been hit hard by the winter storm, I think it was 63, the windstorm, and there was a lot of timber down. The grounds were badly damaged. The house, the gatehouse, and the garages were all damaged by the storm. There were trees that had crashed into the house that had fallen across the garage and crushed part of the apartment above the garages. A lot of windows were out of the main house, and the wind and the rain were coming in. The hardwood floors were damaged and buckled. A lot of the plaster of Paris trim and the nice work that you see along the ceiling edges were damaged. Some of it had to be completely redone. And the tile roof was badly damaged. But our biggest initial problem was sealing the house off and getting the furnace started and getting heat back in it. The building had been...
You said ours. Now, you were with the Park
Bureau.
What division or what part of the...
Operation and Maintenance Bureau, or division of the Bureau of Parks.
Okay, and what was your specific duty at that time?
At that time, I was a Park Bureau engineer. Later on, a couple of years later, I began worked with our crews in restoring the building. Later on, I was in charge of the Operation and Maintenance Division and was in charge of the crew that did the work. So I either supervised the work or worked intimately with whoever did it. We had to put in a completely new electrical power source. The water supply didn't work correctly, and we had to replace that. The landscaping had, the trees had to be removed, old trees, all the shrubs, plantings, the grounds had to be cleaned up and worked over. Inside the house itself, as we fixed the windows and we put and warmed the building up, got the furnace working, while we put heavy weights on the wooden floors, and over a period of several weeks, we were able to bring the wooden floors down to being flat. We refinished those. We dried the house out and got the kitchen working. The kitchen had been remodeled, and I can't remember the dates, but the kitchen had been remodeled, say, 10 years prior to when we were in there, so it was fairly modern, and that was the first room in the house that we could get any heat into. We had the electric ranges on. And as slowly as time went on, we restored the garage. The gatehouse, literally nothing was done to the gatehouse. And at that time, deliberately let go because there just weren't funds to do anything with it. And later on, the gatehouse was to have some fairly serious damage that perhaps could have been stopped had we taken more time to look at it, but it had dry rot in it later on. That time it didn't. The main house, again, as we got it dried out and got the furnace working, there was a lot of problems with water leaking into the basement. There was problems with the leakage on the top floor. One of our main projects about a year later was the restoration of the roof, and research found that the tiles on the roof were unique, having been built or having dated back to about 1914. And in our research, I think it was in Chicago, we found the original place that had built the tiles, and we were able to, they found a pallet of tiles that enabled us to replace the roof as it was originally. And as we replaced the roof, we replaced some of the copper flashing and the gutters. And to replace the roof, again, the number has to just flying on the top of my mind. It seems like it was $25,000 we had to spend then. And we had to put scaffolding around the entire roof. It was a major project to repair and replace that roof. So that was one of the major things that we had to do. The restoration of the interior of the building, once we had the exterior, the walls, the windows, the roof completed, was a long process that took years. And every year, operation and maintenance would, usually in December, send a small crew up to the Pittock Mansion. At that time, Mary Alice Sneed was the Pittock director, and she had a fairly comprehensive improvement program, a restoration program, that she worked with operation and maintenance in developing these work programs each year. So we pretty well knew what we were going to try to accomplish when we would come in during this month period, usually after Christmas. We usually took an area and we would improve it. One of the first major improvements, we went into the basement. Again, it would have probably been in about 1967 because it was several years after it was opened. We went in and installed the public restrooms that are in the basement now. There was a wine cellar, I believe a walk-in freezer, where the comfort stations are now. We also opened up I'll call it the ballroom in the basement, or the game room in the basement, I guess it was called. And we opened that up for display and a fire exit. The elevator was restored in that period of time. We used our own painters to finish and upgrade different portions of the building. The main ballroom, the dining room, and the library were worked on in various years. One of the things that was interesting to me was that a lot of the light fixtures that had been originals developed by a Mr. or Baker Electrical Company, we were able to, he was still alive at that time, and we were able to get restorations made of a lot of these light fixtures through his good offices. And he was a young man when the building was built, and Pittock apparently liked dealing with young new businessmen and did. So we were able to, 60 years later, to come in and utilize his brain power.
Well, Fred Baker was quite a well-known craftsman.
Right. Well, I think with Pittock, used, you know, he wasn't quite so well known.
He's probably just starting out,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
That may have even been his first assignment, I think. But anyway, about Mr. Baker, did he happen to have the original designs by any chance for the
fixtures? I didn't deal directly with him. Somebody else in our staff did. And as I recall it, yes, that he did have the original designs. Like, it was like the tile. Different things that we would investigate, we would find somebody that had an original or had the plans, and so we were able to, generally, we were able to restore what had once been. The house, interestingly enough, really wasn't damaged that badly. The family had done a good job of maintaining it and keeping it up right up to and prior to that 1963 storm. So when we took it over, although it looked pretty grim, the damage was usually superficial, and we were able to, by making those major repairs on the windows and on the garage where the trees had fallen on, we were able to, you know, to enclose the skin, the outer skin on the building fairly quickly, and then it was just a matter of picking it up. A lot of the later restoration was, once we had the comfort stations in and the access to the house, was literally just taking it room by room and restoring it. A lot of the paint we were able to, we didn't do anything to, because it was just not in that bad a shape. I think that somebody had said that one time that there were, again, I guess, 14 hand rub coats of paint and a lot of that stuff. Certainly the wood in the dining room, I think it's cherry wood, I'm not sure now, but we didn't do much to it. We just left it alone, and it's still there, and it's still beautiful. And in the library, that there wasn't much done to that room. Some of our biggest problems were access to the Pittock Mansion. The main access to the Pittock Mansion at that time was up Monte Vista. I'm not sure if that's Avenue or, but Monte Vista, and there were a lot of there were a number of houses there, and they were against the access coming up that way, because all that traffic that had not been there before was coming by and interfering with their life. So again, in about 1966, we developed the access road, the present access road, which is the Pittock Road
Drive,
yes, that comes up through the back. And we used an old access road that the Pittocks had used coming up that back way, and we modernized it and opened it up, and that's the road that's presently there. There were several other access roads, some of them still exist, that come down, I'll say for the lack of a better word, through the canyon and still exit out, and they're all overgrown now, but down in the on the hillside, there's retaining walls and guardrail fences and that have, you know, that just aren't being utilized anymore.
But were those for vehicles or carriages or?
They were probably, I believe they were access roads for the construction. I'm not sure when Monta Vista was built. I just don't know, but Mr. Pittock spent a lot of money building those roads.
Uh-huh.
And they went just up to the building itself.
So amazing.
Maybe construction.
Uh-huh.
They were really well built with retaining walls and guardrails along the retaining walls.
Are they still there?
They're still there, yeah. And not being utilized. And they're being damaged every year because the drainage system is deteriorating, and the water comes off the hill and erodes a lot of it away.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a lot of problems building good access roads into, or this Pittock Drive into the building. It was difficult. We had quite a number of slides on it for years, and we were cleaning it up all the time. We were building culverts and different devices, and it took us 4 or 5 years till we got the road to the condition it's in today. And again, right in that period of time, we built the parking lot that's up on the, that's up behind the garages.
What was that area used for originally?
It was gardening, gardens. Well, they weren't completed. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of an open area that we cleaned off and leveled off and made into the parking area that it is. We did some landscaping on it. Then directly below, south of and directly below the parking lot was, and you can still see it on some of the old plans, was a greenhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And the greenhouse had steam heat pipes still existing, that went, although it didn't work, that went to the house. That was something that we took down.
They were connected to the house?
The
steam?
The furnace in the house.
Oh, really?
Uh-huh.
Were they connected?
Also, the pipes connected
above the ground or below?
No, below the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And the pipes were also the same heating pipes heated the apartment over the garage.
Amazing.
Now, the gatehouse had its own furnace, and which also didn't work
mm-hmm.
when we took it over. And that was one of the problems that the moisture got into the gatehouse walls and floor, and that's what caused some really serious dry rot, which again we rebuilt later on at a later date. Another area that we continued to work on was the restoration of the grounds. We bought up landscape people, experts, our own gardeners. We tried to recreate as closely as we could the landscaping that had been the original landscaping.
Did you have a plan for that? For the original
landscape? We had some old plans, and we had what was actually in the ground. So we just, and then we used our own landscape architects, Irv Thorson, Dan Jappert, to enhance and upgrade what was existing, using the old landscaping plans as a guideline. Also, I think an interesting aside was, I got looking at the old landscaping plans. My profession is a civil engineer, and I found plans of sprinkler systems and drains. And so I went out with a shovel and these plans, and I somehow managed to find one old drain that showed on the original plans done in 1914. And by measuring, I was able to pick up along the roads surrounding the house a whole series of drains that were put in back in 1914 when the building was built, and they were put in where they showed, and they were still there. They had been grown over. In some cases there was a lot of dirt over them, and all of them had been covered over by plantings and grass and grounds, and so we opened them up and made them workable again. So there's a lot of things like that were interesting. Some of the old
amazing
stairs and access points to the building we were able to bring back and start using again, and they had been overgrown. And so there was, just over the years, a lot of things that were there had been neglected, and our gardeners and our operation and maintenance people were able to bring them back into play again.
Mm-hmm. Did you, well, I don't quite know how to phrase this, but did you, while you were working on the house, gain any kind of insight into the kind of person that Mr. Pittock might have been?
Not really. I did talk to, I think it was Peter Gantenbein, who was
grandson,
mm-hmm. and got a tour of the building from him, and he had a good sense of humor and told interesting stories, but it's been so long that I can't really relate to him, except that they seemed like nice people, and Mr. Pittock seemed a little bit officious because he demanded of everybody that everything that went into the house be of the highest quality. I remember many stories about how the proportions, architectural proportioning to the library, for example, they weren't equal, so they made the squares a different size, and I was really impressed by that. It was
the panels, you mean, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was also impressed that when you went in the dining room and you pulled the sliding door out, that the old finish, or the finish on the wood on the sliding door, do it sometime, it's just like it was originally. And while the rest of the woodwork inside the dining room has deteriorated where the sunlight's got to it, where that door has slid back into this big thick wall, it's just like it was originally, and it glows. Another thing that really impressed me was in looking through the house, the first time I went through it on my own, more or less, and I opened up, which turned out to be a door, and it turned out to be was where the electric panel was. Well, you know, in our houses, your electric panel has all these numbers and things on it, but you usually basically push buttons or put a fuse in. On this, here was this beautiful marble, huge marble switch panel with brass electric handles on it, with each one of them with an engraved name on it. That this goes to the master bedroom, this is to the pantry. And it was just awesome. You know, here the electrical panel was literally a work of art. And in being an engineer, why, that really impressed me. In the basement, we discovered the central vacuum cleaner system. That was impressive to me. We discovered the exterior tunnel that went around the basement game room.
Mm-hmm.
The tunnel went underneath actually the patio, and there were glass blocks on the patio that let light in to these windows in the basement to make it look like it was an exterior building. The underground passageways just enthralled me. When I was there, we never ever completely solved the problem of moisture coming. Whenever there was heavy rainstorms, we always got moisture in the passageway and leakage through the glass blocks. We had problems, again, partially due to the storm, with some of the balustrades and the concrete trim on the exterior of the building that we had to repair. I remember that we would take different parts that went into it and take them down and have them duplicated, sometimes in our own carpentry shop, and sometimes we'd contract them out. Again, the trees and the limbs and the damage to the exterior of the house suffered during the 1963 windstorm. There was, just besides the windows and the roof that I was talking about, there was a lot of damage to the exterior. Nothing serious, but just things that needed to be repaired.
Were you able to, you mentioned the electrical system, were you able to investigate things like the water system, sewer system, and that type of thing? And were those things original, and were they, if they were they working well, and were they up to present day codes?
Okay, I'll start with the electrical system, and the one that I was mm-hmm. fascinated about. It was the original system when we took it over. It did not meet new codes because we were, in essence, changing the use of the building from a home to a museum exhibit place. We upgraded the electrical system to accommodate concessions and the public use of the building, and we put in modern large transformers and fuse systems that meet all code requirements. The water system was the original water system. It was a pump that was down the hillside, you know, as much as 100 feet. It was waterlogged, it didn't work correctly. So what we did was we went in and replaced the water system, some places replacing the line. We went into the basement and installed, the Pittock Mansion installed pumps, installed tanks that now are still serving the Pittock Mansion. And at around the 1967, the Water Bureau came in and built the water tank that now exists above the Pittock Mansion and behind the Pittock Mansion to the west. And that increased the water pressure, the natural water pressure, because the Fire Bureau didn't want to rely strictly on electric. Pump to provide water. They wanted a positive water supply, which we now have. The exiting system to meet fire codes was somewhat of a problem in the building, and we had to create, like in the game room in the basement, a separate exit out of the room. We had to create exiting out of the basement area, which now goes out the back door past the concentration. We never were able to restore the central vacuum cleaner system, which fascinated me because it all went down into the basement. There was also an elaborate communications system with phones in each room, with buttons to push with a very well laid out and well preserved signage system, so that if you wanted to call the gatehouse or the garage or the master bedroom or the kitchen,
Was that original?
That was original. The elevator, now again, I have to, somebody else probably knows better than I. I've heard several stories, but the elevator again was something that we restored. It wasn't really hurt too badly, but we brought it up to code, code standards, which of course when it's a public building have to be stronger than if it's in just a home. And I understand it was put in at a later date, and I could be wrong on that, but that's what I was told. It was put in at a later date to accommodate Mrs. Pittock, who was handicapped. Again, that's just the story as I remember it. Somebody else can verify it. But I was impressed at the quality of work in the elevator itself, just like I was impressed by every place that you looked in the building was the quality of work that was put into it. It was absolutely beautiful.
What about the famous shower? Was that in working condition?
Yes, it was. It was one of the few things that was in working condition. The foot bath was not. It had been taken out for some reason. The bedroom suites on the second floor had deteriorated fairly bad, or had deteriorated. Someone, I don't know, obviously one of the had painted over some of the nice colors that had originally been there, and made some major changes that the people in the know said that were not advantageous. And those are some of the rooms that we over a period of time upgraded and brought back to what we were told was the original state. On the third floor, there was also a lot of damage. I don't remember what caused it, but there was vandalism. People broke into the house, and some of the rooms had been fairly badly damaged, and so there was some water damage. About half of that, I'm talking about the top floor now, which was in essence the attic, and half of the top floor was servants' quarters area, and then the other half was like I think they called it a layout room, but Mr. Pittock, what I was told, used it to lay out and work layout for the newspaper, but it was a very large room, finished, and then there was a small library, I think they called the library, that was used as an office later on in that floor. Like I say, there was serious damage to a lot of the, fairly serious damage to a lot of the servants' rooms and to that library room and to some of the comfort stations that were in that area.